Hello and welcome to the Keeper Cut Podcast. I'm your host, Chad Young. Typically, this is where I'd say I'm joined as always by Pete Ball, but Pete is not with us today. The bad news is that you're stuck with me. The good news is that we have a very exciting, very fun guest. I'm joined today by Niv Shah, the founder and creator of AutoNew. Those of you who listen to us are very familiar with AutoNew. We talk about it quite a bit, but this will be a chance to dive a little deeper into what AutoNew is, what makes it special, with the man behind AutoNew. So Niv, thanks for joining.
Thanks for having me, Chad. I feel like we have to be like really clear that we also are friends from high school.
Like, yeah, I was about to say, like, people who listen to the show know I've got a long history with AutoNew because I helped Niv develop, not develop it. Saying when I say I helped develop it, it makes it sound like I was involved with like writing code, which is not remotely true. But yeah, Niv and I have been friends for like a lot of years now.
Really long time.
Many years now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of years. Along with some other friends of ours, from another friend of ours, Jeff from high school, some friends from college, we sort of put together the first AutoNew League. And I mean, but Niv, you're really the one who ran with it, right? Like,
yeah.
So, Jeff and I were like, this is cool. We're having fun. And you were like, I'm going to quit my job.
Yeah. It's a little different, a little bit different of a commitment for me because I'm a lunatic or whatever. But yeah, so I'm really happy to be on here and talk about AutoNew a little bit. I really appreciate you guys carrying the torch for the game. And I guess you guys have a listeners league too?
We do. We started three listeners leagues this year.
That's incredible.
Two of them are off AutoNew, but one of them is on. So we wanted to get a variety since our audience does play AutoNew, but doesn't all play AutoNew. So we've got a head-to-head league that's through Fantrax and a Roto season-long league that's through Fantrax. And then we've got a 4x4 original format AutoNew, by far my favorite of the AutoNew formats for Keeper League.
That's awesome. That's great. Yeah, thank you so much for doing that and introducing people to the game. Yeah, like AutoNew, I guess like you guys have a pretty, like the listeners have a pretty good idea of what AutoNew is, right? Like Dynasty-like, auction-based, market-based, fantasy baseball, fantasy sports. Like we have football and basketball products as well, but obviously we're going to focus on baseball for this podcast. And it's year-round, which is the best part about it, I think. There is never a time that you cannot be doing something in AutoNew. And it's all market-based, which is, I think, the unique and important aspect of it, what it brings to like sort of the fantasy landscape. Every player, rather than getting to pick up players based on when you last picked a player, you get to pick players based on how much money you're willing to spend on them. And that, you know, is really reflected in the gameplay all the way down. I think it's like really unique and distinct, and also what makes AutoNew really fun. Like it's just so much more interesting to talk about player valuation when it's tied to a real dollar amount than picks are a little bit more abstracted and a little bit more difficult to talk about, I think.
Even FAB, right? Because think about like leagues that use FAB for in-season pickups.
Right.
FAB is like, it's fun, but it's like funny money, right? It's like, oh, I spent $100 on this guy, and that $100 like is what it is. It's gone.
Right.
Whereas in AutoNew, if you can drop $100 on a guy if you want to, but now you've got that guy in your roster for eating up $100 of salary cap and
taking up resources, right?
Yeah.
So
yep.
Yeah, having the budget be one single budget through the whole year. So you have a budget that you go to draft with. That's the same budget you have left over to pick up free agents or whatever. And it's just, you know, how you have to navigate the whole year. So that to me is really fun and unique. And, you know, I encourage anyone who's listening who hasn't tried it out to reach out to me or to try out the game or whatever. Like I think it's good.
If people want to reach out to you, how should they do that?
You know, I always answer help@autonew.com emails. So that's the easiest way. If you want to directly talk to me, the person, there's also a pretty rich community that, you know, Chad is definitely active in. And we have a lot of great active members who collectively have a lot of knowledge about AutoNew, much more than I singularly do. And that's if you go to community.autonew.com, OTTONEU.com. That is a great way to get a ton of information that exists about the game already, get really acclimated with it. And any questions you have, like the community can help you find the answer to. So that's really good.
So is there still, I mean, we're like So we're recording this on Friday, April 1st. It's going to go out on Monday the 4th. Is Monday the 4th? Monday's the 4th. That sounds
one,
right.
One, two, three. Yeah, that's
right. Okay. It's like, we're like, you have to calculate the salaries of players and figure out what share of your budget
count
using,
how many days
3 days from now is just too much math. No, so yeah, Monday is the 4th when this comes out. Is there still time for people to set up leagues? I mean, is it too late to join?
It's a good question. I think if you're playing more of a traditional fantasy format, single season stuff, I think you can really make the argument that you don't really want to start after opening day. Auto New, I encourage you, and the game encourages you to take sort of a longer view of things. So starting in April or May, it's not really the end of the world if you're going to hope to play for like many more years, right? So I encourage people to start seasons, you know, after opening day is fine. Last year we had a big push after opening day because we had a little bit of press and people just happened to notice us after the baseball season already had started. And we had a couple leagues start mid-season, which, you know, if you do start a league mid-season, which means like, you know, after July 1, I think, you will get the rest of that year for free, that season for free. So, you know, I encourage people to take sort of a longer view and definitely try out the game. You know, it's never too late to sign up. You'll be playing year round for hopefully many years in the future. So missing a couple weeks of April isn't really a deal breaker for playing the game, I think.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel some of this, you know, going back to the beginning, talking about how long we've known each other and I've been around this for so long. I feel like I'm asking these questions like, is it too late to sign up? It's like, no, I know it's not.
Some of these are leading questions a little bit, right?
Yeah, just a little. I have an auction for an existing league, but I have an auction on Sunday. So by the time you're listening to this, I will be done with that auction. But as of now, when we're recording it, like I'm still getting ready for the season. The season hasn't started. There is still time. Like if I can have an auction Sunday, you can have an auction Tuesday, or you can have one like Niv said, you can have one in April. I want to go back a little bit though. When we talked about this, that you know, we developed this as a concept and was like, okay, we got originally nine people in year one, and then we got it up to 12. And like I said, you know, the others of us who helped sort of create this concept. Just were like, hey, this is cool. This is fun. We're going to keep playing. And you just took it to a different level. What drove you to be like, oh, instead of just playing this game with my friends, I'm going to actually build an entire service around this and see where it goes?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. I think originally, like all of it, I mean, I'm looking now at 2022 and I've been doing this. Auto New has been around for a really long time, huh? Like, 13 years, 12 years.
I think it's been out for it's been publicly available for like 12 years, something like
2010 that. Sounds right. And so it feels like, you know, right now, like, oh, I just snapped my fingers and all this stuff happened at once. But, you know, there was just stuff that happened every single step of the way. Back in 2005, when Chad and I started playing this with our high school and college friends, we were just using Yahoo and we had a spreadsheet in Excel that we had to email around. Gmail was new, you know, like we were sending attachments around. We didn't have a lot of the stuff that even now, like we wouldn't have like Google Drive or any of the things that would make it even a little easier to manage offsite. Yeah, now
if we had Google Sheets in 2005 or whatever, when we started this, it would have been a game changer.
Yeah, I mean, Auto New may not have happened because like we wouldn't have needed to like just the difficulty that we had eventually made it such that it was easier for me to just have a website with all this data on it. So we could just see everything in one place. And we just didn't have any other way of doing that when we were starting this out. My favorite story, Chad, as you know, you are essential to it because Auto New really is born out of these collections of web pages that I had to build so that we could manage some of the processes to this game that, you know, Yahoo had no ability to manage. And we didn't have like nifty little one-off websites to use for this stuff. So my favorite story of this and what actually got me to start writing the first Auto New code is we were trying to manage auctions for players in season, free agents in season. And those auctions were 48 hours, just like we do now, where you had to email your bid to the league. And I believe my college roommate, Thad, emailed with about 8 minutes to go before the deadline. We didn't really think this through, right? This was not a very good system. He emailed like 8 minutes to go to the deadline, bidding $2 on a prospect. And Chad emailed with about 10 seconds before the deadline, bidding $3.
Yep.
And that prospect was Cole Hamels.
It was the obvious strategic move to do.
That's right. It was because we just didn't have systems in place that automated all this. And so Chad bid $3. The player turned out to be Cole Hamels. So it wasn't just, you know, some no-name guy. It was a really important player that Chad was able to put to good use for many seasons, I believe, on his teams. And I was like, well, you know what? Chad used the right strategy. This is dumb. I'm going to make a website so that we can have auctions announced and everyone can do blind bidding 48 hours on this website. Come in, enter your bid whenever you want to. We do a Vickery style auction, which is the team that bids the highest gets the player for the second highest bid plus $1. So you don't ever really quote unquote overbid. You're always paying very close to what market would require. And so we just
Vickery style auctions are what you end up with when the third person who helps create the game is an economist with the Federal Reserve. And you're like, how should we divvy up players? Like, how do we decide what the right market value is for a player? And he's like, let me go into some detailed research into the best way to value assets.
It's like, this is actually a solved problem because the best way to figure out what the pricing of something is a Vickery auction. We don't have to go into the super economic background of that stuff just to say that it's a really good system. And it's obviously worked for us this long and will be the way we do this. But so I built a page that just let us do Vickery auctions. And, you know, once we have one page that we were going to off Yahoo, it became easier and easier to add more pages. I read a book called Baseball Hacks that showed you how to scrape Major League Baseball game day. So I had Major League Baseball stats coming in at some point. We had a lineup page and I just slowly built out all the functionality so that we could just move directly off Yahoo and manage everything on AutoNew with rosters and all that stuff. And you can sort of see that in the site now, in the way that it's sort of organized and broken up. You know, we talk about it a little bit, like every single page has like a very distinct purpose and exists like with like such a like a purpose of intent. There's nothing that's like filler on the page and on the site. And there's not a lot of pages that are like, I need to go here for three or four different things at the same time. Like each page tries to be pretty distinct because that's sort of the way I think about development. So anyway, like we just piecemeal built everything up like that. And the other great story other than the Cole Hamels one involves Eno Saris, like our good friend over at The Athletic, who when I moved to California in 2009 or 2010, and Eno was on Twitter, which was new at that time, asking some questions about how to organize his PitchFX database back in like 2009, 2010. He was scraping off game day like all the other pitch analysts were on those days. And he was just asking like, how do I find like this value for this pitcher's curveball or something? And I emailed with him a little bit and I helped him write some database SQL statements to query his database the way he wanted to. And he offered to get me a beer the next time I was in California. And I told him I had just moved to California. And so he offered to get me a beer the next time I was in Menlo Park. And it turned out I had moved one town away from Menlo Park. So he got me a beer. And over that beer, we talked about AutoNew. We talked about the vision of like what fantasy baseball could be, what the purpose is of like the difference between playing Yahoo is or Yahoo or a traditional fantasy baseball game, ESPN or CBS, what draft picks and saves and all these different ideas that are really abstracted away from the actual goals of Major League Baseball teams, but are good for the game of fantasy baseball and how like, instead of playing this other game called fantasy baseball, what if we played a game that was really close to baseball? And so I pitched.
I think that's a really good point that it wasn't just, I mean, there are lots of things in fantasy baseball that are not real, but they are about the gameplay for fantasy baseball. And,
right.
And one of the big things that we tried to do in the original days of AutoNew was make it feel more like what a real GM has to deal with.
Yeah. We all read Moneyball. Like, I think all three of us read Moneyball the summer it came out. And like, we were like, why, what is this? What is Billy Bean doing? And why are we not doing any of that? And when we were playing this like hardcore Yahoo League for like many years with all of our friends, and all of a sudden it felt like complete, like Moneyball kind of like removed the illusion that you were doing anything similar to what Billy Beane was doing or what GMs were doing.
Right.
You know, and we're fans of the Cleveland Guardians now, and they have, since the mid-90s, been a really smart organization and really well run. And they were doing a lot of things that were sort of separate from like the world of baseball that we inhabited, that only became clearer and more understandable after reading Moneyball and after understanding what front offices are actually doing. And reading all that stuff, it really made like a traditional fantasy just feel empty, right? And there's a lot of moving parts here. Like when I was talking to Eno about this conversation, like the very beginning, part of it is the stat choice, right? Like 4x4, like we're avoiding saves, we're avoiding stolen bases. Or if you play in a points league in Auto-New, those things are weighted in. The leverage stats aren't 1/5 of your stats, like a 5x5 league, or 1/10. The most important stuff, like 10% of your total output in 5x5 is determined by stolen bases. And that's, stolen bases are valuable, but they are not 10% of what a Major League Baseball team cares about, right?
Yeah. And the other thing that I think points does, that because of the weighting in, is it gives you a lot more options for how you build your team. You don't have to have a balanced team, which, like, we've seen plenty of major league teams be successful by bashing their opponents to death.
By doing all kinds of things.
Major league teams pitch, be successful by just pitching better than anyone else. And
right,
there's a lot of ways to manage that.
So like laying out all the things that that Chad and Jeff and I were trying to accomplish with Auto-New to Eno, who was a very accomplished and known baseball writer, you know, laying all that out to him while he was at Fangraphs, he was just like, well, you know who you need to talk to is my boss at Fangraphs. You need to talk to David Appleman. And Eno made that conversation happen. And I talked with David a few times, and David liked the idea of having a fantasy sports game, but he also really liked the vision. He thought that what we're doing is really aligned with what Fangraphs was doing, which again is like pretty well inspired by trying to understand what Major League Baseball teams are doing, right? And evaluating them accordingly, right? Saying that this signing was really good, this signing was bad, because how do we try to accomplish winning baseball games? So trying to align a fantasy game with more of like that kind of thought, it really aligned with what Fangraphs wanted to do. And so now, like over the course of 6 years, I had accidentally built a website and gotten in contact with exactly the right person who would be interested in helping me launch that website as a service. So that was like kind of a crazy sequence of events that was only possible in like what Twitter was like in 2010 and what, you know, whatever, like it's just a totally different kind of world, but it just happened piecemeal by piecemeal, right? Started from, let's build this one page so we don't have to email bids, all the way up to, you have a fully functioning website that people can sign up for and play fantasy sports on. Yeah. So that 2010, 2011, around then, like we launched with Fangraphs on Valentine's Day. I believe this is the 11th year now that I'm thinking about it, right? Because we did the 10-year.
We just did the 10-year last year. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's obviously a thing where I really like fantasy baseball. I love baseball as a sport. Like I just like going to games and stuff like that. And a lot of that is in part due to you, Chad, and my other friends from high school, who like, we went to baseball games all the time in high school. It was like,
yeah,
a really good Cleveland team to watch and really fun time to be in Cleveland and follow that team. So just really liking baseball and finding this to be like a fun way to spend my free time got me all the way up to Fangraphs. And in 2015, it got me a conversation with the GM of the then Cleveland Indians, right? So I got to meet Mike Chernoff, and I've met with him a few times and in person, and we occasionally text each other. And he only got in touch with me because someone in his family went to college with me and had noticed my website on Fangraphs and was like, wow, I have a family member who is really into baseball also, and you guys should talk to each other. And like in 2015, you got to pinch me, right, to be able to talk to the GM of my favorite baseball team and starting to see what like the impact Auto-New is having in the greater world. There were podcasts being made about Auto-New then and people blogging about Auto-New. And I was like, oh, I have like this little ecosystem that's going on over here. And that's really what pushed me to say, like, I really need to spend all my time working on this rather than having it as a, because I was doing that as a side gig up until 2015. I had other full-time jobs and I would just come in and occasionally check on the site at night. And now it's how I spend all my time. And the site is really quite better off for it, I would say. There's a lot of functionality that's been added, and I think it's as good, if not better, than any of the other major sites that are out there. And it's super fun to get to work on this all the time. So if there's any, and also, like, obviously, if there's anything people come up with, ideas and stuff for new functionality on the page, on the site, I can just do that. I don't have to have meetings about it. I don't have.
And if you guys go, if you go have ideas, you have thoughts, if you go to the community site that he mentioned before, community.outernew.com, there is a wish list category. I think it's a category.
Topic.
There's a wish list topic, and you can put in there things like, I don't know, anything you want. I wish you would let me do a waivers league or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, you can try.
You won't do, but you can go in there, and there are a number of features on the site now that have been born out of somebody saying, like, hey, it'd be really cool if this functionality existed, and Niv being like, in fact, it would be cool if it existed.
I agree.
And I'd make it happen.
And
so
and-
for new people who are, like, obviously, we have listeners who play out anew. For those who don't, for somebody who's sitting there right now listening to this and going, like, okay, this sounds kind of cool, like, what's something they should know or something they might miss as they're getting set up that you think is interesting, important, will help them get started?
Well, I think most of my advice, that's a really good question. Most of my advice stems from you have to take the long view in almost every aspect of AutoNew. That means that trades that you might think are uneven, if you take a little bit of a longer view on them, like think over the next season, season and a half, 2 seasons, Don't think much further out than 2 years out. But if you're thinking on that timeline, like you can start seeing the shape in which like trades maybe look less unfair than you think. If you think on that kind of timeline, like you can understand like, yeah, an auction draft can be really slow or take a really long chunk of time. But it's okay to do it piecemeal over a few days and to maybe miss opening day of baseball because we're going to be playing this league for many years, right? So a lot of the advice I'd give would just be like, it's never too late to start, and you should just think of this as a hobby you will have for quite a while, because a lot of people who play it end up having played it for quite a while. Like, we have a lot of people who play AutoNew who started in 2011, 2012.
Right. For those people who have been playing a long time, like, what's the thing you think a lot of them might be missing? Like, something that, like, long-time players are like, oh, you might have been playing this for a few years, but here's a thing that you're not thinking about, you might not notice, you might not pay attention to, but you should.
That's a great question. And, you know, we're hoping to do a lot more of this in the future and even in the near future. I think our integration with Fangraphs is something that gets underplayed a little bit. You can, you know, Fangraphs has this great leaderboard section of the site that Major League Baseball teams use, you know, these are the tools that Major League Baseball, like, analysts use as, like, the groundwork for all kinds of decision-making that goes up in the front office. And you can get those leaderboards for your fantasy team for AutoNew. And that's a unique feature of AutoNew. Nobody else has that integration with Fangraphs, where you just punch in your league number and, or there's a link from AutoNew to Fangraphs with a leaderboard that is exactly the same leaderboard as their Major League Baseball leaderboard, except with your fantasy team and fantasy league information in it. So that can help you find free agents. It can help you sort of evaluate who is performing well and who's underperforming for your teams. It's a really powerful integration. And I think a lot of people use it, but I think a lot of people don't realize that it's there and how useful it actually can be. And we're hoping to do more integration with Fangraphs like that in the future. I think it's that relationship is wholly unique to us and definitely one of the best things about AutoNew.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I think when I'm looking at free agents in my fantasy leagues, like, one of the more frustrating things in anything other than AutoNew is the inability to quickly look at Fangraphs and see what I want to see, right? Like Yahoo or Fantrax, like they've got good systems, but they don't have the level of data that Fangraphs does, and the ability to integrate with that is just like it is the only fantasy service where I have the ability to look at free agent pitchers sorted by the difference between FIP and ERA.
Yeah.
Which may or may not be the single best way to find free agent pitchers, but it's certainly an interesting way to find free agent pitchers or to look at trade targets sorted by that. So like, it's really interesting. It's functionality that doesn't exist anywhere else.
Right. It exists only with us. And just to piggyback on that, it's not going to be the magic bullet. So it's not like everyone's sitting there and being like, I know exactly who I need to target. It just lets you start your analysis from a more advanced position, right? So you just are using the tools that major league teams are using. That's awesome. And right, it's not going to give you exactly the answer. Like, you need to go add this player right now. And that would simplify the game too much. But it does give you like a way of problem solving, improving your fantasy team that no one else does. So I think that's an awesome undersold feature.
So for people who want to get started, what's the quickest way for them to dive in?
Best way to get started with AutoNew, to go to the community forums, which we mentioned a few times, check out the Managers Wanted section. And if there is an established league with some people who have been playing AutoNew for a couple of years, that is the best way to get your feet wet. You will find really smart, competitive, but also willing to teach players that you can play with that will make the sort of learning curve a lot less steep. It's not a particularly steep curve if you're already sort of thinking about fantasy baseball in this sort of like evaluative manner, but there are some things, right? Like getting used to the $400 budget and 40-man rosters and really understanding how many prospects you can carry with that. It seems like a lot at first, and then it's like, oh, maybe it's zero, and it's the answer somewhere in between there. But getting a feel for like how you want your play style to be becomes a lot easier when you're playing in an established league with sort of an established dynamic and with people who know what they're doing. So the best way to get started is definitely like sort of mid off season, December, January, poking around in those forums, seeing if there are some teams that are like really interesting. The second best way to get started is to just jump in right now, right? You know, if you're listening to Keeper Cut all the time, you're well situated. If you've never played AutoNew, you like these guys are doing a really good job of getting you sort of in the right mindset of playing. So there are new leagues that are forming today. Like I had a league entirely start and fill up yesterday. So there are definitely people out there interested in picking up teams and interested in playing AutoNew and ready to take that dive maybe for the first time, or maybe to pick up a second team or a third team.
And if you go to autonew.fangraphs.com, you can see there are buttons there for join a league, create a league, claim a team.
Yeah, we're claiming a team is an existing team in an existing league. So there's just like a lot of easy ways to get yourself a team. But the best advice I can give is to actually start, right? A lot of people are like worried about the time commitment, which is definitely real, but not overwhelming, I think. It depends. I mean, it's up to you how you want to play. A lot of people are intimidated by the advanced stats, but, you know, we're not using anything too difficult to measure. You know, we're using stats that you can find on any baseball website. So the best way to get started is to go find a format, start wrapping your head around what kind of format you'd be interested in playing, be it 5x5 or 4x4 or one of the head-to-head formats or whatever, and either create the league or join a league that fits what you're interested in doing.
So let's take a real quick break to hear from our sponsor. And when we come back, we got a couple more interesting, unique AutoNew things to talk about. Plus, we'll get into some players and storylines from MLB. We'll be right back.
Hey, Alex Fast here, and thanks for listening to this podcast on the Pitcher List Podcast Network. If you're a fan, consider supporting all of us by getting a PL Plus subscription, where you're going to get an ad-free website and get access to our Discord, where you can talk to all of our podcast hosts and staff. Plus, you can hang out with our incredible Pitcher List community. It's basically a baseball sanctuary year-round for as low as $8 a month. You can sign up at pitcherlist.com/plus, and you're going to get your first month free with promo code podcast. Also, don't forget to check out everything else we do as well, from YouTube videos, live streams, newsletters, off-season articles, TikToks, breakdowns, over 15 baseball podcasts on our network. We can't stop talking about baseball, even during the off-season. So sign up for PL Plus today at pitcherlist.com/plus and use promo code podcast to get your first month free. All right, thanks for listening. Let's get back to the show.
All right, welcome back. Talking here with Niv Shah, the creator and founder of AutoNew. So Niv, we've talked a lot about sort of the basic game, giving people some advice on how to get started. Something that they, unfortunately, if you're new to AutoNew, you can't do this year, but you could do next year, that I think is one of my one of my favorite things now that it exists is the Auto New Prestige League. Auto New Prestige League, OPL, was new last year. It just filled up for this year, so it's going to be 240 teams going at it again. Tell our listeners a little bit about like OPL. What is it, and what prompted you to create this?
Yeah, so one thing, I've become a bit of a European soccer fan the last few years, and one thing that I really enjoy watching is Champions League soccer. And it's really interesting to me, the idea of having one team, my preferred team is Liverpool, that plays in multiple competitions. So they play on the weekends in England in their domestic league in the EPL, and then midweek they can play in the Champions League or in a English tournament or all these different other contests. So I was thinking about that model and how fantasy sports doesn't really have that model per se. And also how, like, one of the things that we talk about a lot in Auto New, like especially like the more advanced players, they talk about like, well, we're playing in points, we're all playing in different points leagues, and we all are scoring points the same way. Whose teams are scoring the most points? And like, what are the, how do we evaluate which leagues are the strongest leagues and which teams are the strongest teams across all of Auto New rather than league specific? Auto New isn't the biggest site in the world, right? We have like 350-ish leagues. So you can do that kind of evaluation. It's not like thousands upon thousands of leagues to go through. So seeing a lot of people be interested in that conversation about like, how do we compare these teams against each other? I thought what would be really neat is to build sort of a second contest, a second competition that teams could enter with their rosters, with minimal management required, minimal active management, but we'll let some of the best teams across all of Auto New duke it out against each other. So what's OPL? OPL is a game. 240 teams are allowed to enter. In order to enter, you have to be in a league that's been established for 2 years or for a full season. That is a 12-team league. Any prize tier doesn't matter. And any scoring format doesn't matter. But in order to enter, you have to have finished in the top six of your league in the previous season. And that team is then qualified for OPL. And what OPL does is once a month until the All-Star break, takes a snapshot of your team's roster, up to 40 players. And that is your roster for that period of OPL. So we're going to do our first snapshot on April 7th on opening day. At 4 a.m., we're going to take us the first 40 players on your Auto New teams that are entered and have an algorithm that basically evaluates what every player is doing in actual baseball and scores their points and optimizes the lineup based on the best possible point total. So you don't have to set your lineups. You don't actually have to do any roster moves. All the roster moves that you do in your regular league, in your home league, will, if you continue to advance in OPL, will be automatically reflected on the OPL roster snapshot. And so what we do is at the end of every month, we lop off a bunch of teams and the process starts over again. You can't really jump out to a huge lead because the way OPL is set up, we only count a little bit of percentage of your previous score in each round. So we go through, I think, 8 rounds, and it finishes in a big March Madness style 64-team tournament where every game is 2 weeks, and it whittles down to one team, that a championship game on the second to last week of the season that determines who wins the entire tournament. And with 240 teams entered, it's $50 a team to enter. We pay out pretty big cash prizes for what Auto New normally does. I think the winner gets $1,600, something like that, and a custom baseball bat that no one else will ever have. You have an opportunity to get a t-shirt. You get a free t-shirt if you make it into the tournament, which is unique. So we have all these neat prizes, and the way the game works is you don't actually have to do a ton, but you also, it changes the way you think about your regular league and your home league, what kind of players you want to add, how to best optimize for the best ball algorithm of OPL. and what kind of strategies involved there.
I think it's a real nice segue into a conversation that you and I need to have independent of any podcast going on, but it's a good time to do it. So Niv and I are co-managing a team in Auto New League 13. It's a Fangraphs staff league. So we're competing primarily with some of my colleagues at Fangraphs, some of the other writers over there, but we have entered that team into OPL. And I mean, Niv, this majorly impacted our strategy for the draft.
It entirely changed it. It didn't only change our draft, it changed how you were thinking about the team. I only picked up co-managing this season, but how you were thinking of the team towards the end of last season, right? Mm-hmm. So one of the things that's really important for OPL is having players with multiple position eligibilities that play regularly. That is just the biggest value, because the best ball algorithm, if you score positive points, it will put you into a slot in your lineup. And the lineup is sort of a standard auto new lineup. And if you only are third base eligible and you score positive points, there are two places you can go into: utility or third base. If you have outfield eligibility, that's five new slots that have been introduced to that you could be put into if you score positive points. So that creating that flexibility, that basically gives flexibility to the best ball algorithm, is super important if you want to enter OPL. And that's something that we really focused on in our League 13 draft. And it's also
really, really all off season. I mean, we started talking early in the off season. We started off with Rhys Hoskins and CJ Krohn as our two first basemen, and also had Kyle Schwarber, who is first base and outfield eligible, Ryan Mountcastle, who's first base and outfield eligible, Connor Joe, who is first base and outfield eligible. And we basically made a decision early in the offseason that while we did not plan to cut Rhys Hoskins or CJ Krohn, we did want to trade one of them because we didn't think we needed to carry two guys who were only first base eligible. We felt like we could cover that position with guys who might be in the outfield. And I think this is an interesting thing, because if we weren't entered into OPL, I would not have thought that at all. I would have been like, great, we'll have Hoskins and Krohn, we'll start them both. One of them will be our util.
Right.
Fine. But having those two, like, if you have a day where those two both hit a home run, let's say, they get their points, they're at first base in util and you're in your best ball league. But then all of a sudden, if you have, you know, two third basemen who also have a solid day, six outfielders who also have a solid day, somebody's getting pushed to the bench.
And leaving points on the bench is just the worst.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we ended up making some moves to try to add more guys who are multi-position eligible. We made a trade in the offseason for Dalton Varsho, who is catcher and outfield eligible. We had debated only carrying one catcher. Now, we are fortunate that our catcher is Salvador Perez, who had 161 games played last year, which is obviously a lot for a catcher eligible player. Varsho was sort of a perfect fit because it was like, we're not really sure we want two catchers. The analysis out there suggests that having a second catcher is not necessary for OPL. But Varsho is sort of a perfect fit because on days where he and Perez both play well, he can slot into an outfield spot, or obviously one of them could go to a util spot. There's a lot of flexibility there,
right?
Which really helps.
And the idea behind OPL is also to sort of, because we have to make a decision like this, Chad and I are making these kind of strategy choices, it makes players like Rhys Hoskins available to teams that are maybe not playing in OPL or aren't qualified for OPL, right? So it allows, there's like these little bits of competitive balance coming out of this game, because we have to make choices that are maybe not optimal for our home league, but are optimal for OPL. And those trade-offs then benefit people in our home league, right?
Yeah. And so the thing we're dealing with now is we are, you know, a little less than a week away from that snapshot that Niv was talking about before, which means we have to have our OPL lineup locked basically by the time we go to bed on the 6th, so that at 4 a.m. Eastern time on the 7th, it's locked into place. We have an open roster spot, which is not a thing you want in OPL. You want to fill that up, so we have to figure out how to fill it up. We also, there was some interesting research that got shared. There's an Auto New Slack community, and there's some interesting research that got shared there by a guy named Greg. His handle is at Walker Pilot. And he was looking at basically how many points do you get for adding a player at a given position. So for example, if you have five corner infielders, you add a sixth, you expect that sixth corner infielder to add about 2.85 points per day to your lineup. Great. One of the things that stood out to me in that research was that you still have a lot of marginal points to add. You could still add more than three marginal points basically per bat added up to your 26th bat. Your 26th bat would be expected to add about 3 points per day. Your 27th would add 2.85. I think we have 20 bats. Is that right? Is that what I think? Yeah, that's what I counted before. We got 1, 2, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20. So we actually have 22 bats on the roster. However, two of them, Alec Thomas and George Valera, are expected to start the year in the minors. And so this creates an interesting situation for us where we could use that empty roster spot to add a 21st bat, which would be great. We have three prospects. In addition to Thomas and Valera, we have George Kirby. Prospects are, they're black holes in OPL.
Right.
Right. They're on your roster. They use up one of your 40 spots, but they're not going to score points. So we've got some decisions to make now about, like, you know, Thomas, Valera, and Kirby are all top valuable prospects. We have to decide if we want to. We have them on the trade block. There hasn't been any interest yet in trading for them. And so we have to make a decision now about, do we sit on these guys and hope that that 37 roster spots is enough for us to survive the April cut?
Right.
Or do we maybe want to cut one or two or all three of them in order to add, like, again, if we added another two or three bats, that could be, according to Greg's research, if we added two more bats beyond, so we're going to add the one for sure. If we added two more beyond that by cutting two of these guys, we could add another 6.8 points per day, roughly.
Right.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of points.
Now, yeah.
That's make the cut number of points.
Like it that, could be, right? Yeah. And I think this is the challenge is, if we think we're good enough to make the cut without cutting those guys, then Thomas and Kirby could both be up by the time the second snapshot happens. If not, maybe somebody's more willing to trade bigger value, right? Like if we, you know, looking at the like free agents right now, like in this league right now, there are two auctions going on. One is for a prospect, Gabriel Moreno. We're not going to bid on him. The other is for Darren Ruff, who actually would be a good fit for us. Actually, this won't air until after that auction is done. So I can say we are bidding on Ruff. We actually started the Ruff auction.
Yeah.
So there's also like other free agents that are out there I'm not sure Trevor Larnach's going to make the Twins opening day roster. So he's not a great fit. Randall Grichuk, Tyler Naquin, Kyle Isbell, I think should be playing for the Royals. It gets thin quickly. And yeah. So one of the challenges we have to deal with now is like our best bet for making the first cut might be to cut Alec Thomas or George Valera or George Kirby or all of them and add Darren Ruff or Randall Grichuk or whoever right now today.
Right.
But our best shot for winning the whole thing might be to sit on those prospects, wait for somebody to be ready to sell and trade two of those guys for like a stud bat.
Right. Which, you know, the last snapshot is right after the All-Star game, right? So a couple weeks before the trade deadline in Auto New, our trade deadline is July 31st. So that gives, I mean, that is peak trade prospects for superstars time, right? There's also a snapshot at the very beginning of June that can also, that's usually like when the first sellers start emerging in Auto New leagues. So it's an interesting trade-off, right? Because if we are able to make it through the first two cuts, we have incredibly compelling chips that we held on to that a lot of OPL teams won't hold on to. So they usually try to put their best foot forward at the very beginning. They don't necessarily don't have the assets to add pieces later in the season. So it's a really interesting dynamic. And I'm not 100% sure what our answer is. I tend to believe that our team is good enough as it's constructed to make the first cut. The first cut, last year, we didn't have any qualification, any qualifying requirements. This year, we do. So all these teams finished in the top six of their leagues last year, top half of their leagues last year. So the first cut is probably going to be a little bit more competitive, certainly more competitive than last year's first cut, which had some teams that, you know, were just joining for the novelty of the game, but weren't really necessarily the best teams. I still tend to believe that, like, if we can like the first cut is still pretty forgiving. And I think that we can make it through the first cut. Now, the second cut, I think, is going to be really hard this year. But I, with Alec Thomas, especially, like he speaks like someone who might be with the big league club, right? Like,
yeah.
And then what was your read on Kirby? Like you thought he also might.
No, Kirby, I mean, he might. No, he hasn't. I don't think Kirby's pitched above
double A right? Yet. Yeah.
I mean, right now it looks like the Mariners are going to carry Matt Brash as their fifth starter. And Brash has, like, I'm trying to see how much he's pitched. He hasn't pitched above double A either. They're not scared.
They're not shy of doing that kind of move. That. Okay.
Right. And if you look at their rotation, like, you've got Brash and Gilbert who are young. You've got Marco Gonzalez who struggled last year. Flexen who pitched well last year, but sort of surprisingly so.
Yeah, Flexen's an interesting one. It's interesting to see if he's going to stick.
It's like there is room. If Kirby goes to AAA and is dominating at Tacoma, he could find his way up soon. Valera is really the one who is still a ways away.
Valera might be the best of the bunch is the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, that's homerist a little bit there, I think. But
we are two Guardians fans, so
yeah, so maybe
it's hard for us to turn away from George Valera right now.
Right. We can talk. We should talk about this more, obviously, in the next couple days. But I tend to believe that, you know, we have 39 out of 40 spots taken, so we need to fill our last spot. But other than that, I think we should see where we're at. Like, if you don't make the first cut, well, that would stink. But
yeah, it would. I think it's fair to wonder, like, if we cut even all three of those guys and added. I mean, I guess Greg's research would suggest that if we cut those three guys, we added three bats, we could add something like 9 points per day, 10 points per day, 10 points per day, which is another 300 points. And I think the question becomes people were scoring in what were the scores? Do you have access to what the scores were from the first round last year?
Yeah, we have to look. I have them tucked away somewhere, and one of the things I am actively working on right now is this history tab for OPL. Like,
yeah,
we're gonna have a history tab there so you can see every single year's results, including like a proper tribute to the champion of that year. So I'm working on that. I have it buried away somewhere here, but I'm not gonna be able to pull it up in the next minute or two.
But regardless, I think I'm sort of my mindset is sort of if that's what keeps us, like if that would have made the difference for us making the cut versus not making the cut in round one, it also means we're probably in a pretty bad spot for round two,
right?
Let alone round three or the playoffs,
right? And it's hard for me. It's hard for me to say, and I think you're going to say this too. It's hard for me to say, let's sacrifice these promising prospects in a move for a opportunity to be in, like, basically starting from the bottom in round two. Either we make the first round cut pretty easily, or we're starting in a little bit of a hole, right? Because we're not, our 25% of round one will be towards the end there, and we'll have given up really good pieces. And then also we might not make the cut anyway, right? So
right.
So that also could come to it. Like cutting a piece like Kirby, which is, you know, an interesting pitching prospect for, who did you say was out there? Like, there's like three.
Randall Grichuk.
Yeah. Like, is that, I don't think that doesn't inspire. Yeah. I don't want to run the website to do that. But
yeah. And I think what we'll find is, like, if we get through April and we feel like we're in danger in May, but it's worth making a run at that cut, then we can cut those guys or trade those guys or try to figure out something to do. If not, we can keep sitting on them. Like, if we feel pretty good, we can keep sitting on them and try to strengthen our team so we're really strong, right? Because, like, the ideal for my perspective is, you know, one or two of those guys maybe come up and make a difference for us, and we're able to trade the third as part of a package for a big upgrade that meaningfully improves our team before we get towards the playoffs. So I think it's worth sitting and waiting.
And also it's worth mentioning quickly here that the top of our lineup is good. Like, we have good players on this team. This team has, we have Lindor.
Yeah, I mean,
go ahead.
So, yeah, looking at our roster right now, and just in order of how expensive players are, which is not always the best thing, but we got Xander Bogaerts, Chris Bryant, Francisco Lindor, Kyle Schwarber, Joey Gallo, Nick Castellanos, Ketel Marte, Salvi Perez. Then you get into some of our more like middling guys. You got Ryan Mountcastle, Ha-Seong Kim, Dalton Varsho, Kirilloff, AJ Pollock, who just became, I think, more valuable with the move to a very nice hitter's park in Chicago.
Yeah.
CJ Krohn, Ke'Bryan Hayes. And our pitching, there's a little concern about whether or not, like, when Zach Wheeler is going to be back, and there's not a lot we can do about that. But if we have him, we've got Zach Wheeler, Brandon Woodruff, Sean Manaea, Ian Anderson, Alex Cobb, Andrew Haney, Ranger Suarez. And then we got a bunch of pitching depth, because in OPL, I think that pitching depth, the ability to start two guys almost every day, matters a lot more than it does in a regular league.
Right. The way pitching is done, for anyone listening, is there are two starting pitcher slots and five relief pitcher slots. So you really just want to have one really interesting successful strategy last year was one guy managed to corner all the Giants starters. So he had a starter going every single day. And if that pitcher had, as the Giants had many days last year, any kind of a good outing, you got points from one of your pitcher slots. If you have seven pitchers going on one day, you're only going to get two of them. If you have one going every single day of the week, you're going to get all those points that are positive. So it's the pitching depth is definitely right. You want as many pitchers as possible, and you want to get lucky with as little overlap as possible.
So before we wrap up here, we haven't really talked about, other than, you know, naming some guys on our roster, we haven't really talked players or anything. I'm curious to know, just more generally, forget OPL for a moment, Who are you high on this year? What players are you particularly interested in? Who are you finding yourself gravitating towards in auctions and stuff?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I generally, like, for in these conversations, like, for as much time I spend around fantasy baseball, I do not think of fantasy baseball as much, like, in terms of this, in this question, right? Strategy, who are the players that you should be high on, low on, like, looking at like Statcast data and trying to identify breakouts, which I think is a really fun problem to do. But I just end up every time, I've said this multiple times to you, especially Chad, every time I look at something like that, I end up accidentally deciding that I need to build something new on the website rather than evaluating my team.
Yep.
That being said,
which is great for the rest of us.
Yeah, it's very good for anyone who wants to play auto new. I will keep building new things for you, and it's fun. In terms of players, though, like, very specifically, I am super excited about Trevor Story in Boston. I snagged him early in our League One draft right before he signed there, and I think I got $10 in surplus on day one. I think he would have gone for like 30, 35 bucks instead of the 24 I got him for. So I'm really excited about that. And yeah, I'm just excited to see what Trevor Story does. Chris Bryant, I think we have in 13. I also have in one in League One. Him in Colorado, what is that? And what, you know, what, how does that change, like, the curve and arc of his career? I'm really excited to see how that works out. And then on the pitching side, I'm excited to see how Robbie Ray pitches this year. He put it all together last year, and, you know, he's been an auto new darling for quite a while. A guy who everyone was really excited that maybe he'll finally not give up a billion home runs. And he didn't last year, and he was really good. But he's also kind of old, but he's pitching in Seattle. So I don't know. There's something there that I want to see how that goes. Yeah, I'm just going down my roster here. And, you know, I'm excited to see what next year Ian Anderson brings. John Gray, another classic, like, get this man out of Colorado. Now he's out of Colorado. Let's see what he does. And last year I stashed Justin Verlander for the whole season. So I have an $11 Verlander in League One. And I'm pretty excited for that, especially given the radar numbers that I guess he's been posting so far in spring training.
Yeah, and just, I mean, Verlander's been such a good pitcher for so long that seeing what he can do after this kind of layoff at his age, it's just such a unique...
Exciting, thing. Yeah.
People were like, oh, what's the history of a guy at his age coming off a full missed season and actually pitching well? And it's like, I don't know that anyone's ever tried.
No one's ever even tried that, yeah. So, and if you were... Betting against Justin Verlander doesn't seem like the right way to go about that.
I'm in on Verlander as well. I like that. He's an interesting story, and I think he'll be an ace.
Yeah, I mean that. I mean he's not the opening day starter, but I think that's going to look silly in retrospect at the end of the year. The other thing, like just to throw in some like regular non-fantasy talk for a brief second, you know, I live in Washington D.C. and the Nationals are not going to be very good this year, but I'm very excited to watch Josiah Gray pitch, and I think he's starting in the rotation this year. And I'm also this guy might be relevant in 5x5. I'm not really sure, but Lane Thomas is kind of like a pretty fun outfielder to watch play. I'm not particularly sure he'd be fun to watch accrue stats for a fantasy team because he doesn't hit for a great amount of average. But I went to a couple games last year and it seemed that he started in when they were sort of like breaking him in. And after he got DFA'd and they picked him up. And he just seemed to hit a home run every time I was in the park. So I was like, that's pretty fun. And he plays defense well and everything. So from like a regular baseball perspective, like those guys, you know, I have to deal with the hand that I'm dealt, right? If I was in New York, there'd be more things to be excited for if you were a Mets fan or whatever. But I get to watch Juan Soto at home. So that's fun. And the rest of it, you know, Nelson Cruz might hit 40 homers while batting 200 or something. That'll be pretty fun to watch. But yeah, I'm just excited for baseball, man. It feels like it's been a really long time since we got to watch some real baseball. I'm excited.
No kidding. Yeah. And I think Thomas is a really good call. Thomas is an interesting one. In 5x5 is kind of a weird one because he did like last year, even in this sort of breakout year he had, he had a 235 average. He projects to only be about 235, 240. So
he's
not real good at average. Yeah, but he's like there. Most of the projections have him with something like 15-ish home runs and 8 to 10 stolen bases in about 100 games. So you project that out to if he gets a full season, you're talking about like a 22 home run, 15 stolen base pace. And if you play in OBP leagues, he's got a career 12.9% walk rate. So his on base percentage last year was .341
plays
despite the .235 average.
Yeah.
So particularly in on base, he plays in traditional 5x5, he's sort of a late round guy because that average is going to pull you down so much, and he's probably a part time guy, but because it looks like he's in a platoon,
yeah,
and he's got interesting upside.
And you'll have to see, like he's like a perfect example of like how much is he going to be stymied by the lineup choices that the Nationals make, where the National like Soto bats second, which is awesome and really cool, but they seem to put Lane Thomas and Victor Robles, they're like sort of speedier guys who do have trouble getting on base and definitely trouble with getting hits. They put them sort of lower in the lineup, and that really costs them in terms of runs and opportunities to steal bases. And obviously hitting in front of Juan Soto is where you want to be hitting in that lineup, not well after Juan Soto. So
right.
So we'll just have to
hitting
see.
Right after him is great.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, like, maybe that's right.
You know, you got Nelson Cruz and Josh Bell hitting behind him. Those guys are going to have a lot of RBI opportunities.
They're going to have a lot of chances. Yeah. So yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to see how this season goes. Like obviously like we're Guardians fans. So we have to acknowledge like watching J-Ram play this year will be really fun.
Do we?
I think we have to
acknowledge.
We have to acknowledge.
It's been a depressing offseason as a Guardians.
We have to acknowledge the good things as they're going away from us because this is what's happening right now. And I'm excited. I don't know if you saw the Daniel Espino scouting report from Fangraphs, from Eric over at Fangraphs, but he said some of the most glowing stuff about Espino's stuff. Yeah.
He's not the only one either. Yep. People are raving about Espino right now. So that piece is good.
Yeah. So we can be positive about some stuff. We're going to have some low-cost, controllable pitchers for a long time, which is what Cleveland specializes in. Ugh, man, it's frustrating. I might just have to become a Nats fan all full-time. I'm going to be mad at them when they let Soto walk, so I don't know. It's tough all over. It's tough all over.
All right, well, thank you for joining us, Niv. I really appreciate it. For those of you listening, just a reminder to subscribe, leave us ratings and reviews. You can follow the show on Twitter at Keep or Cut. That's Cut with a K. You can follow me at Chad Young. If you want to follow Niv, you can find him at Otto New.
At Otto New, and shoot me an email, help@OttoNew.com, if you have any questions about the game. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Glad to have you on. We'll have to do this again. Thanks everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.